If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Holy Human with Leanne Rimes is a production of iHeartRadio. Hello, my loves. Welcome to this very intuitive episode of Holy Human with a very intuitive guest. Bree Melanson is a spiritual facilitator with a surprisingly practical approach to tapping into the transformative power of our true potential, which is by tuning in to our intuition. I think you'll find her way of viewing our spirituality and purpose really unique, refreshing, and insightful. And she's here today to share her wisdom with us all on Holy Human. Bree, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on here. I'm so excited to talk to you because I've been dabbling in your work and your offerings for a while now. And yeah, it's just all of your offerings seem so loving. There's just so much beautiful energy behind them.
Thank you. What a magnificent honor. And I'm already going to, I'm just like, heads up, this bee's going to cry.
Join the club because it happens all the time. I just cried before we got on here. I have a thing. I don't know what it is. I usually go through some sort of grief process before I get on a podcast. It's really interesting for me. And it's just been, I used to go through a fear process where I was just terrified. And now I've switched from fear to grief. And I'll cry before.
I mean, do you think it's grief or do you, because I mean, we've talked very briefly about this and I experience it all the time where I feel like there is a higher love coming through in which my body short circuits, right? Mm-hmm. And it's me processing that greater love and it's part of being the witness, right? And so I'm just asking. I mean, maybe you've already identified it and you know.
That's interesting. That's really interesting for me because that happens to me when I sing. There's a lot of emotion that comes through and I find myself crying often and I try to stay out of judgment for that because sometimes I feel like, oh, this is my unprocessed emotional shit getting in the way of my job. And at the same time, I know that is also how tapped in and tuned in I am to emotion. And it's just that openness of creativity that flows through it brings on intense feelings. And I feel like that's part of what I'm here to share is that authenticity to show people that it's okay. It's okay to be in these feelings, even when
Absolutely.
You're creating.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and maybe especially, I mean, I think, you know, we're obviously so conditioned to stuff it, like, you know, just Absolutely. Put those down in the barrels of yourself for later and for like, when later? But this last couple of years, whatever shift I am experiencing, whenever I teach larger classes, especially if they're, you know, looking at me and I'm really in that moment, I will bawl. And like, if, you know, you've come to a couple of my classes, you know, she gonna cry. But it's just, it's from love. I feel the other thing that I consider sometimes, which may apply to this as well, is I'm feeling the magnitude of maybe what people in class will experience, but it's not conscious, right? Like, and because time really is an illusion and we're rooting in the intention of whatever it is to make people feel.
Like,
but not me.
Right, them. Exactly. Yeah. I'm supposed to be the wizard that doesn't feel anything.
Right. Yeah. So I really, you know, learned to surrender to it because it just wasn't an option. And it really gave permission. Other people were like, yeah, I, you know, gave them permission to feel or cry or, and then I make fun of myself all the time. And then I'm crying like a big stupid baby. Like, but yeah, in the best way.
It is, and it's such an emotional release for people. I know when I sing, when people are at my concerts, I am creating that space for people to feel the things that they don't normally feel. And music does that so well. Breath, when you're facilitating breath work, breath does that. And so it's, you really are creating that space. And like you're saying, if you're holding that, it will come through you. like, this is how it's done.
Let her rip. Maybe that's a new ritual.
Yeah. Maybe that's what's happening. I should just roll with it. Well, now that we've talked about that, let's wind up for a second. How do you explain what you do to people when they meet you?
Sometimes it depends. Like, I'll kind of, you know, gauge it, but I also don't dance around it because over the years, I've just
you've done too much dancing around it.
Yeah. And now I'm just rooted in it. I'm like, take it or leave it. And also I've created a vibrational field where I don't encounter that many people to where it's uncomfortable or they don't understand or they don't believe or whatever it is. It's really interesting. So, I mean, I did readings for years. And even when I did readings, I was like, you can see me thrice. And I was just like, because I wanted them to, you know, and then call me when you have another great shift in your life. But I didn't want to be anybody to be dependent on me. Right. If I can do this, you can do this. And so I think a larger part of my passion, or maybe all of it, is supporting others and empowering others in accessing our potential or access to a field that we all have access to, just most of us have forgotten. Yeah. And so if I were to really basic it up, you know, I'm a meditation teacher or, but usually, you know, I'm in the nail salon.
Far more than that.
Yeah. I just say, well, I help people to, you know, move past their blocks and reconnect with their inherent intuition. And yeah, it's a self-heal, which we all have the capability of.
Yeah. Do you find that when people, when you say I'm a psychic medium, or if you use those words, are people super triggered by that?
Not anymore.
That's good.
When I first started, I had to fight for it because my beliefs were that, right? And it was great because then it helped me to stand more firm and not in a place of any type of fighting against. But if I'm holding it, you don't really question it, right? If I'm wavering, I think I've moved through that to where I just like literally don't encounter it anymore, which is, it's a trip.
I love that.
That in itself.
I love that you're talking about holding our beliefs around what we believe we are. Like, how do we, when we're wanting to move into a space of true belief of the thing that we want or the person that we are, but we feel like we're not quite there yet, how do we start to really move in that direction of belief around the thing that we're not quite, but really know we are? Does that make sense?
Give me an example. Is it that I can embody?
Yes, that I can embody. I mean, well, for me, it's been interesting because I've been singing my whole life. And so I used to have this really powerful belief in, and I still do, of course, but there's this something that shifted for me over the years, this powerful belief that I could do anything. And I had no question in my mind about what I can do with my voice. And, you know, going through life and its ups and downs, it got into my mind that I was somehow less than, and that was the one place in my life that the less than like didn't creep in, was my music. And somehow along the way with all the shit I went through publicly, it did. And so it's really been interesting, you know, as that ego piece of me, which I love and it serves its purpose and I still have to have it in order to do my job, as that's kind of dissolved into, and a deeper sense of humanity has come into play, I'm finding myself really towing the line between the two of those. And when we need to step into our power and this belief of I can do anything, I can be anything, I can have anything, how do we step into that more fully when there's a piece of us that's not so sure about that? I mean, and that to me, the humanity of that piece, it serves so beautifully too. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to demonize that other side of it.
Yeah. Totes. What I believe to be true is that, so if we're talking about that resistance or doubt, right? Mm-hmm. Usually it's in direct correlation from which even, and a lot of times we're not conscious of it, of where we're allowing the ego to be the motivation. And again, a lot of times it's not on the surface. And the same could be said as for our suffering, right? Mm-hmm. Or where we perceive to be lack in our lives. Those are the areas in which the ego is driving a little bit more. And as you've said perfectly, it's a vehicle for our expansion and we need it and it's great. And let's celebrate the Lee. I also love that is it Lee? I also love it.
Yeah, Lee. Like,
it's, hey guys, it's Lee and Bray. Again, to still celebrate that essence of the self and not try to totally wipe it out, because it is fun, it is glorious, and it's allowed you to create a lot of things. So, you know, what I always like to take things from is that, in a dualistic way, is that perspective of the ego and soul. And that can be love and fear, and that can be, you know, you can use a lot of different words of, you know, truth and illusion. And so when we're looking at what we perceive an issue and or something that we just want to shift. So I'm going to super quickly break down a process that I feel that you can kind of apply to everything to get clarity and to embody. Okay. Because change doesn't happen, right? We can know it. We can know forgiveness is an act of self-love. We can know these things, but until we actually are able to root in it, we don't. We can't transcend, right? We have to pull forth that higher knowing into us. So when you're looking at the thing, the belief, the doubt, the first step is just noticing that it's an invitation. And as you said, again, we don't want to look at it as a problem and it's something that we have to fix and I'm so broken.
Right.
Because that's what happens when we try to fix it from the ego. You're just in a wrestling match with the same consciousness that you create. Yeah. Yes. We're like, we love those.
Yeah, totally.
Realizing that, oh, okay, this is an invitation. And that's essentially the choice, right? That is the power of our will, which is our greatest power. We can will the divine force that is within us, or we can, you know, continue to learn through the pattern and will the ego, which again, not bad, takes as long as we want. But noticing it this is an invitation somehow. And then as soon as you begin to switch that and change, you know, that inner dialogue of whatever the story has been or life is happening to me, you shift into empowerment. Mm. Essentially, the transcendence can begin. And so realizing it's an invitation to expand even more. Can you imagine? Even more into your brilliance. And then the second step is the inquiry. So the other thing about the ego that I have found most helpful and what I always like to offer is that we don't hold on to limitation for no reason. There's a payoff, right? Everything in the friggin' universe serves a purpose. Mm-hmm. And so we just need to understand the deeper purpose that it's serving. And we want to get on board with the higher purpose. So the ego, because it believes itself to be separate, it's the part that, you know, deviates from our wholeness and allows us to co-create. And it's great. We love it. We love it. It's great. But it also is stuck in the constructs of a linear world and therefore conditional world. So it's obsessed mm-hmm. with conditions, right? I need that thing in order to feel this. Mm-hmm. If I had that, then I'd be soothed. If they did this, then I'd know I'd love me. So I like to call it, to help switch it, is the negotiator. And so just mm-hmm. gently being aware of not only how is my ego at play, not because we tend to think that our like bottom beliefs are that we're not worthy, but mm-hmm. it's more so what the ego is doing to negotiate its worth. And, or it's conditional worth, or it's usually around love or safety. Like we think we have all these issues around money or our body or our love or whatever, but it really is quite simple. And all those things are just, they're manifestations, you know, of kind of like the more root core beliefs.
So the root core belief, because I have kind of believed, and I think I still do, that my core beliefs mm-hmm. are around.
I hereby affirm.
But I think a lot of people's core beliefs are does base around like I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. So you're saying and love and safety.
What are we doing? So I'm not good enough. So mm-hmm. what do I have to do to get the good enough?
Right,
and that's the world of the ego. It's that. Love comes from outside of us. Safety comes from outside of us. Everything comes from outside of us. And therefore, that's where our limitations come from. And so just gently considering, because we know we are not the ego. We know it. I don't care where you are in your spiritual path. There is a place inside of you. I like mumble some names. I'm like, no. I was like, you know it. We all know you know it.
Yes.
But so not needing to make yourself wrong, but just taking that gentle gaze of how is my ego in negotiation? So what does it believe that it has to do in order to feel, you know, safe in the world or whatever it is? And usually it's like around approval or, and so if you just look at the condition, I mean, I don't mean to be like, and now we're going to talk about your childhood.
Oh, no, man. It's fine.
Does that sound good? But even if you were to even just to like give it a really general, like take a stab at it, like I have to blank in order to blank. So, or the ego.
Oh,
the
I have
ego
to perform beliefs. In order to be loved.
Well, she's like, I got it, baby.
I got that shit down.
I got a lock. And it's been a beautiful belief. Like it's, look what it's, I mean, not that you've created everything from that. But also,
a lot of it. But that's what's so beautiful. And I think what's so interesting is there is a gift in the wounding. Mm-hmm, like there, you can take that wounding and create beautiful things from it until you can't. Like,
well, and it's not sustainable.
Like, exactly.
Because when are you ever going to get it? Right. mm-hmm. Yeah. No one can ever make us feel loved. Thank God.
And then you receive it. What you think is love, you receive using mm-hmm. my own experience, I receive all the success and adoration. And then it like turns on you. And then it's mm-hmm. like, well, if it's not coming from me out to me from out there, then I feel empty. Mm-hmm. And that is the invitation then to.
Yes. Yes.
To create it from somewhere else. And then.
Yes.
So you're saying, which I love this because I'm still in the understanding of creating it from the inside. Like mm-hmm. I still feel like, that's true.
Mm-hmm. I still feel process.
Like though the, you know, we talk about being connected to something bigger. Mm-hmm. Do you still feel like that's on, like when I think of that, I still feel like that's on the mm-hmm. outside of me.
I know, it's so interesting that you were doing that with your hand. Bigger.
People can't
see. Way fucking over there. As far.
People can't see, but I was going on the right side of my head. It was like all my hand making a circle all up in the air. And it does. It's very, that's a very childlike, I think, thing for us to think, especially when we've been raised in religion and all the kind of stuff, is that it's still that love is on the outside of us.
Right. Yeah. Even God, all of it, everything.
Yes.
Yeah. But so then that third step is the shift. And then you want to just try on what would be the perspective of my soul? or my greater knowing, or I always call God G-O-D because I feel like it's like, don't say the G word, or like there's just like people don't like it. It's not trending.
Yes.
But like, it's not trending. It doesn't mean that we have to be there in that moment. But when we consider the soul and God, like all of these things are for us to explore. I'm not like, this is what your soul is and this is what God mm-hmm. is. It's like, it's really a beautiful like dance and exercise to just look at your, so if we're looking at the soul, it's like who you have always been, the essence mm-hmm. that has been you throughout even just this body in time. It is that self and the essence that you feel maybe after breath work, or you could even just ask, if I had a soul, when do I feel the essence of my soul? A lot of times it's going to be in nature, in creativity, when it is not attached to outcome, when you are in that flow of creation and really feeling into defining your soul for yourself. But essentially for all of us, it is our unconditional essence. It is the part of us that has not been conditioned and therefore is, you know, the ethereal and is all loving and is all knowing. Just taking like a soft consideration is what would my soul know to be true within that? So we start to just shift and just ask. And another way that I like beyond the spiritual stuff, you can just say, which my guides said to me once where I was, they're always drag. I'm like, drag me. It's like always the best loving way. But they said, what is true beyond your perceptions of lack? Or what is true when you take your identity out? They said, they told me that before. They said, take yourself out of the equation. And I said, well, what?
What do you mean?
So when we're looking at that piece around, I have to perform to be loved or feel love, what would your soul or God say or see about that? What is the higher truth?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to me is that's what I am. I am love, so I don't have to perform to be anything.
I am the love I seek. I am the light. I am, in reality, I am feeling the light that I am when I am on stage. I am resonating truth so deeply. I am feeling the reflection of all that I am. I am feeling the oneness that is.
And that's so huge. I think a lot of us have a hard time letting that in. Because I think a lot of people can relate to the, I need to perform to receive love. Like that is such, I mean, sure. And look at social media, look at everywhere. That's all around us of performance in order to feel, you know, we have to wear the mask in order to be liked. And, but then we do get into these places where for me, it's stage. For some people, it might be meditation. It might be creating art, where we do drop into this deeper sense of self. And I know for me, one of the most challenging pieces in my life right now is allowing that to fully come into play, like to feel, to really embody the joy that that brings. Or sometimes, and I think also that's why I cry so much on stage. It's like, holy shit, it's like this overwhelming force of love that is joyful. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. Like my nervous system doesn't know what to do with it. I think people might get into that space and almost resist the higher piece of them because it's, we've conditioned ourselves so deeply to feel the suffering that almost feels like baseline.
Yeah. Yeah. And because it's a linear, well, first I'll go right back to the suffering, but before I forget my little brain, my little human brain. But those moments, it's like, how much is Leanne there? She's not. So how could it be? You know what I mean? It's like, it is actually the most easiest thing is to just be and to have that. You know, the other thing I like to think of as like a reference is when you think of how does your soul feel embodied, you know, when we're, and it may be in those moments, it may be when you're standing in front of a tree, like, and you're like basking in Nate, and you're like, when you have those moments where, and you're so relaxed and you're such in a state of being, that is our natural state. And it's also the truth of every, like, it's where truth lives, it's where your soul lives, it's where intuition lives. It's like and our ego is not there. And doesn't that give us enough proof of, you know, of how real that our unreal our suffering is? If the present cannot hold it, how, because when you are fully present, your suffering is not there because your ego isn't there. And so how real can it be? But yes, you know, and even the suffering is essentially the same. I have to be in lack in order to receive. I have to be at love, or, you know, mostly love, or safety, right? Like a sense of safety. So it's just the other thing I like to think too about beliefs, instead of taking ownership of them, because like pain is nothing to take ownership of. It's something to feel. We have to move through all of these things, but it's just a linear concept, right? It's like, oh yeah, I was like thinking that love came from other things, or I was believing in like this linear perception, and then just looking at what is, like, what we said is, you know, how would my soul see this? But it could also be, what is the unconditional truth of this essence? You know, in this case, you're looking for love. So if nobody ever told me what love was, how would I define it? What are the moments when I have felt the highest states of love?
All right, I'm going to let that question sink in as we cut away for a quick break, but we'll be right back with more Bree Melanson.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back, my loves. Bree has just asked me to share the moments when I have felt the highest states of love. Wow. I have to think about that for a second. Yeah.
Because,
you know, love is something that I talk about often. I know you talk about it often. And that's a great question, because I have asked myself, how would I define it? But it's sometimes I can't find words for it. It is it's such a feeling.
But that's good. Then you have that anchor, right? You have that, you say, then once you really, maybe you're visiting it and doing it in meditation, but you anchor it in yourself and you're like, okay, this is the feeling of love. So in this, so when, then when you go out into the world and we get, you know, it's all very enticing.
Yes.
the illusions. Then you use it as your anchor, just like truth, right? Because truth is felt. It's similar to love or the essence of the soul, in that it is based in oneness, right? What is true is, well, like with a capital T, like a divine truth, is going to be true to all beings, right? That the higher truth. And that is going to be in the same kind of expanse of almost like an expansiveness or a neutrality or a knowing or resonance with oneness. Yeah. And so then you use that as your anchor, be it truth or love. And then when you go out into the world, okay, now where am I because of how I'm feeling? Where am I in relation to truth? Mm. And in awareness too, that, you know, our emotions are just feedback. They're literally, it's just information about where we're standing in relation to our inherent truth. And then we can look at, we get to use our experience for our expansion. It's like beyond in the mind, our feeling is, okay, I'm feeling this. So I must have kiltered off my truth, and that's okay. Mm. And then you can kind of go through this process gently.
Shit, I'm off my truth all the time.
I mean, that's what we're doing here.
Right? Well, yeah. You know what I've been playing around with that I really love is I've been, speaking of anchoring, I've been really finding what I call my home frequency, which I think is the what I feel like is very expansive. Mm-hmm. I've been playing.
You're like,
with,
I live there, honey. Like,
I wish. Like,
come
I wish.
On in. Just,
no. I know. I wish it. It's there
you're,
all the
you're
time.
Building That's a home.
Yes, I'm creating a home, and it is there all the time. That I do know, but I do venture off from it all the time, and which we all do. But it's a daily practice to start remembering to return to it, and some days. Some days that expansiveness, it feels like there's a cloud, like it feels like cloud cover. And I know that it's there, but it seems so challenging to tap into because I have all this emotional turmoil going on the inside that it's, like I said, I know it's there, I can feel it, but it's a little bit harder to come home. And so that's been my new play that I've been having with myself. Mm-hmm. What does my home frequency feel like? Mm-hmm. And can I remember throughout the day little touch-in points of trying to feel, or I guess it would be just remembering what that feels like.
Right. And I think too, when we are feeling low, to like stay away from the condition, because that's what the linear mind wants to do. It wants to fix something, you know, with the problem, with another condition. And so maybe it's a stepping stone and that's okay, but can you relax enough into presence or observing beauty, or, you know, it's like it's getting out of the head and really into your body too. Mm-hmm. You know, I always kind of joke, but it's really good because Tony Robbins says it, like, he's like, if you get in your head, you're dead, you know, and like the way he delivers, just like you think of him, like, get out of your head, you're dead. And it's like getting back into the body, getting back into the present and in truth, and then approaching it later. Cause again, that wrestling match is not fun.
You say getting back into the body, but I think for me, and I'm sure a lot of people out there too, like the body sometimes doesn't feel safe. Yes, I understand the getting back into the body and getting into presence, but sometimes for some of us who've really stored a lot of trauma in the tissues, which most of us have in some way, shape, or form, like that bodily feeling can be very uncomfortable, which is why I just want to go back up to my head and be like, I can exist here. It's so much easier.
Right. I'm like, how's that working out?
Not very well.
No, I know. It's an infinite process. But I think also reframing anything, but it could be the body, because again, we tend to think that the soul lives out there. The soul is also ingrained within the body, and our body is actually our greatest anchor to truth. And when we feel anxiety, that is a call back to presence. But what we then do, you know, is, oh, the anxiety is a problem. I don't know what it is. We're not taught how to just have a conversation. And it's really amazing how quickly the answers can come up to the surface. And I don't say that because I'm a psychic. I say it because I'm like, I walk people through it, people that have never done it before. And even me having like this head cold the other day, I realized how I was giving my body all the things. And then I did a meditation and I was writing, I just did some free writing. I said, if my healing was the healing of God, I would, because I like to try that on. If my body was the body of God, if my cells, if my emotions, and you just like, you can play with it in meditation and then also free write on it. And I just saw that I was like treating my body as separate, like here body, that my healing wasn't a collaborative experience. I'm like, LOL, babe, you're a part of this. When it comes to maybe reframing the emotions, and remembering that there are no good and bad emotions, there are unpleasant emotions, but those stored things are in there to be felt and processed and turned into greater freedom. And so even just doing free writing around an emotion that you experience a lot, what would be the perspective of anxiety from the perception of my soul? If, you know, if all emotions are in fact neutral information and feedback, how is this emotion an invitation? And sometimes even just, you'll be really surprised. It doesn't have to be some great in-depth visualization, but just literally holding your heart or your belly or wherever you're feeling it and taking some breaths and just saying, what is it that you need from me, my beloved or babe? And just being really gentle. And you may hear, you know, I did it the other day, just like not even connected because I was having this cold, I haven't been able to sleep. And then I was like watching something. And then I was like, I felt like my heart racing. And I was like, what is this? And then my body was like, this isn't relaxing. Like, this doesn't count. This doesn't count as relaxing. Cause I'm like Netflix, da, 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 da. And I was like, oh, okay. But I'm, you know, I'm essentially trying to evade the present. So
yes,
I think, yeah, seeing it as an invitation, because I feel like, yeah, we have stored things, but everything exists to serve our ultimate expansion. So it's not like the body, and you're not saying this, but, you know, it's not like the body is storing things against us or.
Oh, no, it's doing its job.
Right. Like, and it's like, I mean, I am your freedom. Would you like some more freedom?
Right. That would be great. And yeah, you're right. I mean, everything, ultimately what I hear is everything is an invitation back into presence. And I was just talking to my friend about this because, you know, I'm prepping for a tour and there's like, my whole life is planning. And I think there's so many people out there, moms, like everybody's got to plan something. You're looking ahead always in life. And I've noticed in those last couple of days that I can look ahead, but it's like, I don't want to look ahead and worry. And then I just get caught in this loop of, and then I'm so far out there, I'm not coming back into presence. And so it really has been this dance of, and that I've still yet to figure out, of how to plan ahead for my life so I can, you know, take care of myself and be quote unquote safe as much as possible. How can I control as much as possible in front of me so that I, that I don't feel uncomfortable when I'm out there and then come back into presence when I'm done with it? I mean, I think there's this like dance, and it's, if I let myself get too far out there, then I'm screwed.
I think, yeah, maybe. So that the last piece of this process is the expansion, which is essentially the embodiment, and it could apply to this in different ways. So when we look at like how my soul would see this, you know, that I am love, that I am light, or that I am held, if we're looking at, okay, I have a lot of, you know, circulating thoughts about what could happen or the worry or whatever it is. And so, you know, trying on the perspective of the soul in regards to that and what is true. What is true is that I have always been held. What is true is that when I let go, I can be carried. What is true is that, you know, whatever, you're accessing that shift, that higher perception. And then what is the embodiment of that in this moment or today? What would it look like to actualize that? I mean, it could be like a list of things. Like sometimes if I have this on my plate, the same feeling of, oh, there's a lot going on, I will sit and meditate and free write around, what does it look like if I were to see this day from from source, from the light that I am, from harmony, then how do I approach it? Mm. And then there's your clarity. Then you get to let go of those other to-dos that you've just, that you're bringing up, right? Mm-hmm. You can give yourself permission to let it go, or you're having somebody else take care of something, or you're whatever it might be, but you get the clarity in what that that embodiment is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess I would ask, like, you know, even we've switched topics a little bit, totally. But they're all
connected.
Yeah, totally. So if you think about what you've been experiencing as you get ready, mm-hmm. what would your soul tell you? Like, what is the truth about what is?
See, here's where I'm like, I feel like I have truth that wants to come about what is, and then I just don't want to believe it.
Yeah, and you don't like have such to resistance. In this moment.
I mean, it's like, okay. Ultimately, I know I will be taken care of. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's, no matter where I go, like, I will be taken care of. And that's been really coming up for me loud and clear. And it's like, I still want to resist it.
Well, tell me what makes it easier? So I'm like, I have the answer in my head, but mm-hmm. I want, like, for you to try it on. I'm able to trust more when I'm carried, when I'm blank, everything works out.
Trust. And when I'm in trust, when I'm surrendered.
Mm-hmm. And what helps you to be in that space?
Ultimately that home frequency of expansion.
Mm-hmm.
That is the trust in that is what helps me be in that space.
Yeah. And I think also the intention. Mm-hmm. What is my intention?
That's true.
When we're dropped in what you said for sure, because it's in there, but the purity of service, when I am in service, it's like, how much do we, which is the same thing to say as when I come from my honing home or, you know, from my soul, right? But what does it look like for me to be in service in this day, which is really just like getting that ego out the way. Maybe it's also just like listening to that song. Get out the way.
Exactly. That's your soul's theme song. To your ego.
But yeah, just sitting with it and trying it on. And then, yeah, what does this meeting look like? What does this schedule look like? Because I'm not suggesting to be like, whatever. You know, like, you're hell, that's like, how.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because I think when people hear surrender, and this is something we've been talking about a bit on this podcast through the season, is surrender. And when people, I know my little kid mind sometimes when I hear that word, it's like, oh, we just give everything up and just open our arms and it'll all come. And I know that's not the case. Like, what is, for you, what is surrender? How does that take form? How do you embody surrender in your life?
Well, I think surrender is giving up the fight, right? It's
why do that? Why do that?
I know, but it's not giving up the thing. It's giving up the linear and limited perceptions about the thing.
Mm-hmm. Really quick, when you talk about, well, obviously, you know what linear is, linear perception, and then what's the opposite of that? The more expansive perception, like that kind of,
or the unconditional. Like, what is the unconditional essence of this thing? And then another way to look at it is still looking at that ego soul. So if I'm like, I really want this thing, then I want, what am I actually looking for through this thing or this person? And I think it's the thing, but we know round and round we'll go to the next thing. So it's like, if I can consider what is the deeper, like, unconditional truth I'm actually searching for, because it's what I want. It's what do I, it's my, the my feeling. Greater desire is to feel it and to embody it. Okay. And I'm actually never going to get it through those
the thing
conditions, people, whatever. And so what does it look like then to embody that in this moment? That higher knowing, or that I am love. And yeah, you don't like snap your fingers,
right?
And it is a process, but it's training. It's just unconditioning the mind, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to see it for what it really is. in reverence. Like you look at kids and they're clear AF. They're just like magic and love and I love you and you and you and you. And they're just like, and that's our inherent being. We're not withholding because we're not in fear. Love is, and it, I give you all the love. And there's plenty of where that came from, right? And
right.
So, yeah, I think it's also easier to look at what concept can I let go of versus letting go of this thing that I really, really want. Because it doesn't mean that you have to let go of that. It just means it can probably be greater.
Easier, greater. Yeah. I love that you say giving up the fight, because I've noticed recently that that is the fight. I felt like I've had to fight for everything my whole life. Mm-hmm. And so there's this real deep belief. And I think a lot of people do, you know, with this the sense of lack and the need to always wrestle with life. And because for me, it's like, oh, if I fight for it, then I know, or I think that I've really accomplished something. If it comes easy to me, then I haven't accomplished anything. Like there's always has to be some kind of hurdle to get over in order to feel like I've worked for it.
Right. And what a beautiful thing to move past and to honor again, like loving that belief into oblivion. Like, thank you, my beloved, like beloved, like you just, because it, again, it needs, it's got a purpose. It's like, yes. Oh, you want to feel worthy of receiving? Okay. Like, and so then when we can shift the high, when we can shift the purpose into like that higher perspective, because we know on some level that, you know, abundance has nothing to do with receiving or giving or, you know, necessarily hard work, but we love the journey. Like, how amazing has it been to like commit to things and to do that work? It's not about just like laying around and eating Cheetos and like being like, I don't know, this'll work out. But yeah, just looking at how beautiful that's been and what it's created and really loving it so that it can go, not like, because we want to get rid of your blocks, you know, like,
right.
But just be like, just like love it, like sit in a meditation and, or do a yoga class, like in adoration of that, what we may have perceived as like a negative belief or block, and what beauty, and just like honor it and her and all the things that has come from it. And now what? Like, yeah, because I think, you know, when we surrender to our inherent self, and maybe that's another way of looking at it, is like, how do I surrender into my soul? And because our soul and our inherent self is like the tether to God, co-creative field. So that it's going to flow. Like you look at nature, perfectly freaking balanced. Like when we don't touch it, it is insane. Like two, like the micro, like it's just, it's incredible. And that is also our inherent state. And so surrendering the struggle, surrendering into our inherent state so that we can be guided and carried, and so that we can catch the inspiration that will be the shortcut, so that we don't have to do all the things to get to that one place, right? Yeah.
Totally. It's interesting because I think that's why a lot of people shy away from meditation. It's because we've been taught that like that's being surrendered in a state of being is, we're not doing anything. And I know that we're not, but we are. Like there's so much to be done. That's one of the things I've really learned about rest for myself, and I'm still learning it, is that there's so much going on in the being state. And, you know, we have this like conditioned mind around being in meditation in this being state. And it's, people just don't, we don't know how to be, we just don't know how to sit in it.
Honestly, like I don't mean, I don't want to be negative, but I'm like, it was on purpose, because within the being is that incredible co-creative power. Like if you think about it, we can understand it. Like, as I just said, like the souls are tethered to the co-creative field. It's what actually creates. And then you look, you know, and you see your doing self, you know, basically it just looks like you're pushing around papers and organizing things.
Right.
And instead of resting and being so that you catch, that flow of inspiration that is a slight, it's a slight doing, all of our conditioning and all of the linear stuff, you know, I have to do that to get this, keeps us away from the magic that we're like seeking, that we know is there. And then we're like, well, is it in that person? Like, is it in this money? Is it, we're like looking under all the things. Like, yeah. And within that paradigm of thought, we're kind of like, I don't want to say wasting life force, but
well, it's draining. It's draining.
Yeah.
And we are going to replenish here with a brief pause, but we'll be right back in just a minute.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance. Helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello again, my friends. Bree and I were discussing ways in which we hold ourselves and our creativity back.
Comparison, judgment, because the ego believes it's limited, we're like, well, I need to judge them in order to know I can have it, or I, you know.
Or to feel better about myself.
Yeah, totes. Yeah. And it's all this like undercurrent, but.
Yes, and that's so interesting. The undercurrent is exhausting. I've always, we'll talk about, you know, how thought forms, certain thoughts make us feel certain things, that kind of loop that goes on. And I've said to many of my therapists, I'm like, it's not a, for me, it's not a thought necessarily. It's like an energetic current that has no, I can be in meditation and that current can still be going through there. And it is, that's the exhausting part of it for me, is that there's this always this kind of this current in the background that has been created by many different thought forms. But sometimes the thought forms can go away and that current can still be there. And that's I think what I'm starting to play with that home frequency. It's like, okay, how do I get into a different current?
Yeah. Yeah, you know? For sure. And so it's both. It's within the being. And then it's taking that thought, just like we were talking about with emotions, and saying, hey, babe, what do you got? What are you really looking for? What did you need? Oh, you wanted this thing. That's all that inner child work. It's like, oh, you are love. Like, babe, you could totally got this. And so when you're in a higher state to maybe have a conversation with that thought, or just have the awareness of, oh, I see its greater purpose now. And then it can serve that versus the lower vibrational. Yeah. Cause there is no like good or bad, or, but you know, like higher, lower really, but yeah, just,
yeah.
Yeah.
there's a more productive, well, even that, mm-hmm. I'm like, there's a gentler way than the heaviness of that can feel like that current that we're normally in.
And it is uncomfortable because we're not used to it, but like, don't it feel good when we just like relax into it? And I've really been playing with that like the past couple years in like, you know, flow or no, like, it, you know, even if it's a nice shiny opportunity, but it's not, mm-hmm. it doesn't light me up. And it feels like you dumb bee, like you're not going to say yes to this. And
yes, I have those too.
Yeah. And then being like, no, but then it's so wild to see then what can come through and beyond that, the doing self, like even you asking me to be on this podcast and like, and the same week, like I've spent a couple weeks, I'm not good with, like meditation. I'm like, meditation. And I'm not consistent with it, but I did like 21 day thing where I connected with myself. Wow. Friggin' wow. Like so much opened up and so much like serendipity where I was like looking around, like what the actual F, and like within the week, like not, you know, having practiced, I'm not going to reach, I want to hone in on my light so that people can find me, right? Like instead of...
I love that.
Yeah, just doing all the things and reaching out and getting ready. I don't know. Like I haven't done anything to essentially grow my business. And I'm not saying that's the greatest business advice, but in this chapter. So anyway, you asked me to be on this. And then this, like a couple days later, like TV producers contacted me about, and then there was like something else. And I'm like,
I love that though. I mean, I love the growing your light so that people can find you. Like that's so powerful. So powerful. And when you think about it from that perspective, like I think about rest, like what is going on at a cellular level on my body when that happens. I think there's a big reframe for all of us to recognize that it is, you know, that internal light, the more we grow that, the more we take care of ourselves, like the more the things that we truly desire are, they show up. Like they really do show up. And you do have to, you do have to be tuned. I mean, like I know when I meditate and I'm consistent, the things that just pop in, you know, constantly there's pop in ideas and then things do just start showing up. And so much so that it does test you on, if it's not aligned, are you going to say no?
Yeah.
Which I find so interesting because it's like all of these things can start to show up and that you can start to feel like, oh, I have to take, if you've been in a drought or you've been in a place where you haven't been tapped into, or you feel like you haven't been tapped into that. It's so easy to jump on the bandwagon of whatever shows up in my life because it's an opportunity, you know?
And that's okay too. Like however long it takes for us to, to learn. But, and just, I'm like, just try, universe is like, try me though. You know, just right. Like, why don't you try it? It's like, just give it a little bit of a go. And yeah, it is uncomfortable. And I think, the other thing that it is doing it just to be in flow. Like, because again, the ego will like seep into any of the greasy little hands on anything. So it's like, oh, you want to do flow? And the ego's like, let's do flow so we can get the thing and da-da-da-da.
Yes, but absolutely.
You just read
my mind. I mean, like, oh, let's go do this thing so I can get the thing. Yeah.
Totally. And you will, but it's, you know, when you're in that state and you're actually in reverence and in appreciation, it's like, what is richer than that? Zero things are better than just being fully in that presence and reverence for what is. Because those other highs are so quick, right? You're like, woo!
All the little dopamine hits.
Totally. And then the ego's like, well, let's evaluate. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Well, and then all you want is more of that thing constantly.
Yeah.
And eventually runs out.
Yeah, it's tiring. And yeah, I'm so excited. I want to really follow, and I'm going to just keep following this path and see what happens. Cause it's like, yeah, it's so beautiful, that trust and Yeah, how else are we to actually learn it, right? We're like, we want abundance. Like, we want, like, ever-flowing joy. And then we're like, but we ain't gonna let go of the way we were doing things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't you love, I love that when you get retaught the things in your life that you teach, you know what I mean? Mm. I think, and it just comes back around all the time to a new understanding, a deeper understanding. And you know, when you step out of that for a moment, it's like when you show back up in it, like you relearn in a new way all the mm-hmm. magic that's there.
Yeah, it's really an infinite process. And I LOL at myself all the time because oh, I just too. Like, yeah, see mm-hmm. myself struggling and then I let go and then things are provided and I feel like the universe is like, here, you stupid bee. Like, isn't this everything you wanted and more? And like, yeah.
You got to have a sense of humor about it. I mean, if you don't have a sense of humor, then we're seriously, speaking of lacking, like, you know, it would be a horrible, horrible world to not have a sense of humor about all of this. And
yeah, there's plenty of material too.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on here. This is really fun. I loved it. I love talking to you. No, go ahead.
And I was just going to be like, you're amazing, because you are. And I I mean, it's really incredible to, I hope you give yourself credit for being so young and being in the limelight. Like, that is hard. I think about that all the time, that people that have reached any level of fame when they're young, like, but they haven't even gotten their footing. And then they're in this arena.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like some intense learning and you've really,
somehow navigated it.
Yeah. That's all that G-O-D in your heart, man.
Yeah. I think you're right about that. Someone asked me the other day of like how I, when I was younger, like how I, we were talking about religion and, how I knew to question things so young about the me feeling like there was this real sense of hypocrisy. This is totally on a different subject, but also bringing back to what you just said. Mm-hmm. I felt like there was a lot of hypocrisy in what I was seeing, and I was like six. And mm-hmm. Someone asked me what at that age like made me question things, mm-hmm. and I said, I think my heart, like, mm-hmm. I believe it was mm-hmm. just, it boils down to like, yeah, it was just my heart, the things that are there, and maybe it was the creativity and the creative energy of, you know, just being able to have this voice so young that I was able to touch upon it so deeply. Mm-hmm. And I'm really more than ever, like, I think grateful for that, so grateful for that piece of me. Because mm-hmm. it really does allow me, even though I want to shut it off and shut it down sometimes because it's like, oh, I feel so much. It's mm-hmm. it's such a beautiful piece. And I'm really grateful that it's taken me through hell and back. And we will be back to wrap up my conversation with Bree right after this break.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back, everyone. Bree and I were just discussing going through discomfort to find greater peace.
Well, how else do you get to bliss? You know, it's like, how did the awakened one get to the other side? Well, funny you ask.
All the way hell. Through hell. Yes, absolutely.
It's so true. It's real talk. And I shared with you, too, that I had that vision of you and that, you know, all of us are essentially always yearning for the light and yearning for that feeling of grace and oneness in God. Mm-hmm. And it's in everything that we look for and everything that we desire. Just seeing that piece of you, like, yeah, that was your call. Like, that's the calling. And then through the voice, but I was like, oh my God. So beautiful.
So the other day, I saw someone say that we have a God-shaped hole in our heart. We all do. And I thought that was so beautiful. I'm like, because it's what basically you just said. It's like getting, we all want to fill that hole with something, but ultimately we're looking for that connection and that feeling and that feeling of oneness. And I love that idea of that is something that within the oneness that we all are connected through is this God-shaped hole. The G-O-D shaped hole. Hey, I have an album coming out called God's Work, so I totally understand the God thing.
Oh, I get God. It. I just want to say it all the time. Oh my God, God.
I used to be so triggered by that, like growing up the way I did. And now and then like there was a whole reclamation of that word for myself.
Mm-hmm. I noticed too when I like if I channel something and then I go to like record it, I'll have those channel transmissions or they're kind of like meditations. And sometimes when I take the word God out, it just like, it feels so different. It's so funny because I'll try to replace it with like wholeness or source or, and sometimes I can, but and then I'll hear it and I go, oh, babe, you shouldn't have done that. You just took God
reinsert
out.
God, yeah. Reinsert God. Well, thank you. Before you leave, I always ask my guests this. I have something called the Holy Five, which is all about music. So if you can hit me up with like five songs, either that you're loving right now or that maybe over your lifetime have become your favorites.
Thank you. Yeah, I loved this. It was so cool to like think about it. You really understand a person by doing this and like asking them their five songs. It's
absolutely.
And it's like such vulnerability. You're like sharing a playlist. You're like, well, I guess this is who I am. Yeah.
It does. It says a lot about people. And that's why I love it so much because I can learn a lot about people and their music.
I love it. I also like love hip hop and like just like trap, like ratchet. I also like love like cheesy French and Spanish pop and it's all over the place.
I love it.
My first one I'm like in no particular order. Graceland by Paul Simon. I'm going to Graceland.
Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee, I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland.
I don't think I know that song.
Oh, it's so good. It's such a high vibe. Okay. And I just, it's joy. It also kind of reminds me of Elvis, which—
Do you love Elvis? Like, I was going to ask that.
Obsessed. I feel like all my soulmates are not on this plane anymore. Like they're just him, Tupac.
Right? I can understand that feeling.
They all left me.
That's amazing.
Into the Mystic by Van Morrison.
I wanna rock your gypsy soul. just like way back in the days of old.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's sweet. Yeah, and it's also spiritual notes, but keep it earthy.
Yes.
And Garth Brooks, If Tomorrow Never Comes, I cry every damn time I hear that song.
If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I loved her?
Some of those songs he has are just heartbreaking. That the dance, like, kills me.
I mean, I love so many of his, and I could be interchangeable, but with that one, like, yeah, that really rips my soul out. And then Partition by Beyonce.
Drop and roll up the partition, please. I don't need you seeing your say on her knees. 45 minutes to get all dressed up. We even gonna make it to this club. Now my mascara running red, lipstick smudge.
Nice.
Gotta have a moment. Yeah. Scorpio moment.
Are you Scorpio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also used to have a burlesque company. Fun fact.
Wow. That's fun.
And I've listened to this song an unhealthy amount of times. It's called Whole Lotta Money. Whole Lotta Money.
Whole Lotta Money. Is that the artist or is that the song?
That's the song. It's by Bia.
I put on my jewelry just to go to the bodega. And I keep it with me just so that I'm feeling safer. Fendi on my body, but my feet is in Bottega. Bitch, I'm getting money. Give a fuck about a haters, motherfucker.
Is that your manifestation song?
Not like in my bank account, but like that we are infinitely abundant.
Ooh, so, that's fun. I'm going to start.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that.
That was fun and not easy and also an act of vulnerability.
Yes. Well, thanks for sharing with us. I appreciate it.
Wait, can I ask you one question?
Yes.
If you could do a duet with anybody, dead or alive,
oh, yeah.
Also, those terms are relative, but...
Right. On this plane or not?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. That one's so hard because it's like...
And you can pick three because you don't want to offend anybody.
Exactly. I don't want them to haunt me in my dreams at night. I mean, I've been compared to Patsy Cline my whole life, so I think that would definitely be one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with all the dead people for a moment. So, or the other plain people. I would say, oh my God, who's the guy from, hold on. He was an Audio Slave. He passed away a couple years ago. Chris Cornell.
I don't know.
Chris Cornell.
I don't know.
You don't know Chris Cornell? Chris was in Black Hole Sun, Won't You Come, Soundgarden.
Wait. Oh! Cool. Yeah. I love
his voice. His voice is so stunning.
Yeah.
And then who else would I might bring back some Judy Garland. I love Judy. Yeah. I love just her voice was stunning. Such control, such a gorgeous singer. So those are the first three that come to mind.
Okay. I love it. I was curious.
There are many.
I'm sure. Yeah, and then you can call them in too, right? You're like,
absolutely. I mean, we can always do a hologram. Yeah, can always do the hologram. They can be right there on stage with me.
I don't know. call in their essence. Be like, be with me.
That's true. I think I'd do that anyway. I think I'd do that with many female voices because I don't feel like any of us are original anyway. Like we're all. I mean, we are, and at the same time, like when it comes to what we've been influenced by, I've pulled from so many people that I feel like the essence of all of these women live on through how I create. So there's a lot of people that are always with me when I sing.
That's for sure. I'm sure I'll have to take a little gander behind the curtain, but the physical curtain,
please.
No, but thank you. And thank you for your light and all the work that you've done within.
Thank you.
And your courage and just what you're sharing with the world and what you will continue to. And it's strong and it's felt and we have no idea. We will just never know the ways, that our light affects others. And
that's very true.
I see you and thank you for your path and your courage.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Yay. That was fun.
And that wraps up this episode of Holy Human. I want to thank Bree for joining me for a very thought-provoking chat. And please don't forget to share your thoughts with me in the comments or wherever you're listening, because you guys know I love hearing your feedback. And the next Holy Human is our season 3 finale. Yay! And we're going to go out in spectacular style. My special guest will be the beautiful and incomparable Mickey Guyton. In addition to being a country superstar, she's truly one of my most favorite people on earth, and I can't wait for you to get a glimpse into why. I can promise you a lively and entertaining conversation filled with laughter, I'm sure a few tears, and who knows, we might even break out into song. You never know. But no matter what, it's going to be one that you won't want to miss. Holy Human with me, Leanne Rimes, is a production of iHeartRadio. You'll find Holy Human with Leanne Rimes on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get the podcasts that matter most to you.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And,
hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.